is session numero two, carbon confusion or carbon dating. Unfortunately, Austin Nix cannot be here. He had to get his wisdom teeth taken out. Which, by the way, are not vestigial organs. In case you're wondering, they are have to do with your diet more than anything, and they're not excess organs in your body. They have to do with your diet. And by the way, the diet change in North America had a lot more to do with our wisdom teeth than evolution, because we didn't evolve. And also, by the way, losing organs is not evolution. It's de-evolution. You're losing things. And from a creation point of view, if, I don't want to take Stephen's thunder, because he's going to talk about it later, but it's a result of the curse of sin. After the fall, you would expect organisms and things to degrade, to go down. And that's why there's certain things. By the way, you cannot... I'll keep my mouth shut, Stephen. I don't want to... You cannot declare an organ useless because of your lack of knowledge. For instance, Stephen, we'll talk about the appendix. How many of you guys have heard the appendix has no function? Guess what? They just now found out it does. Within the first 10 days of your birth, it aids your... You're talking about this, Stephen? Aids your brain? Lobe? Yeah. Within the first 10 days, it does have a purpose. It's called an argument from silence. You ever want to know that? Arguments from silence should be silenced. They're horrible. Okay. All right, you ready? Carbon dating. Let me explain this. Charles Lyell, which is the guy we just talked about, was a uniformitarian. And what it is... Let me give you the best example I can think of. Actually, by the way, this comes in handy. This comes very much so in handy. I told you about that guy I was witnessing to. His name is John, who was an atheist and then became a Christian. And the one thing he said to me, he said, get this. He said, Sean, the Bible teaches that the earth is 6,000 years. You know, I was like, wow. Even an atheist can figure that out, what the Bible teaches. And he's like, it teaches 6,000 years. And science has proven that it's millions of years old. For instance, the ice cores. Are you talking about this later? Good. Excellent. He said the ice cores. You know, Al Gore and the ice. Al Gore said, you know, talks about the ice a lot. The ice cores, they're layered down. And the further you go, the more thousands of years of layers you have. That proves that the Bible's wrong. And I said, well, that would, except it's based on an assumption. And it's also based on uniformitarianism. Now, what's an assumption? An assumption, I went to Webster, and the fourth definition for assumption is an arrogance pretension. Isn't that great? Webster's a good guy. Arrogance pretension. It's assuming that something is true, or a fact or statement as a proposition taken for granted. Let me give you an illustration. Log this away in your brain. If you take a cup, and you stick it under your faucet, and you set your faucet for like 2 drops a minute, alright? And that you count, or you wait, until the cup is filled up halfway. And say it took 3 hours to fill the cup up halfway. How long is it going to take to fill up the rest of the cup? Another 3 hours. Another 3 hours, right? If it took 3 hours to fill up half of it, how long does it take up to fill the rest of it? 3 hours, right? That is an assumption based on the water droplets are 2 per minute. Now, what would happen if I went over and I cranked the water up? It would fill up faster. Or what if I turned the water down?
Slower.
It's based on an assumption. The assumption is that the dripping rate of the water has been the same and nothing has tampered with it. Do you guys follow me? That's what the geological column is based on. It's based on that the layers and the ice cores have been laid down. And so when evolutionists find ships in the ice cores under 15,000 years of ice and they know when the ship was, like from the Civil War, what do you do? Well, if you have a huge ice storm, you just crank up the water on the faucet. You follow me? Does it make sense? Yeah. All right. So, let's talk about carbon dating. Does everyone have this? All right. Carbon dating is the presumed age at which something emits carbon-14. The half-life of carbon-14 is 5,730 years. Write it down. 5,730 years. Now, how many of you guys know what a half-life is? Yay, excellent. Let me give you an illustration for those of you who don't know. It's like a piece of pie. Now, okay, think about it. If I have a whole pie, pecan, pecan, whatever, have a whole pie, and I eat half of it, I have what? Half a pie. Now, what happens if I eat another half of that pie? Fourth. So we went from a whole to a half. This is, sorry. Wait, what is that? That's not a half-life. Okay. So we got one half.
Yeah.
Good. You're good. Critical thinking. That's good. So you got one. All right. And then you got a 16th, right? And then what? 1/8 in between. All right. You get the point, okay? The point is, you keep going down. You keep cutting it in half, right? That's the way half-life. Now, hold on. What's going to happen when I eat that whole pie? It's gone, right? I'll eventually get down. Of course, there's all that mathematical thing that you'll never get down to the, you know, all that good stuff. Ugh. Okay. Anyway, the point is, the half-life of carbon-14 is 5,730 years. Now, they do that. No one obviously asked that question. Were you there? No, no one was there. But they calculate it, and this is the half-life. All right? Now, what this means is, if you have two half-lives of carbon, then how old is it?
A little over 10,000.
A little over 10,000. If you have three, over 15, four, all right? But each time you go up a half-life, what happens? Your pi gets smaller. Your pi gets smaller. Now, I didn't put this on the thing. Write this down. This is very important. There's three types of carbon. We're going to talk about carbon-14 and carbon-12. Now, carbon-12 is a stable atom. It's stable. Carbon-14 is unstable. And that's why they use it to date things. Carbon-14 is unstable. Now, let me show you, let me give you an illustration. We have Blinky. That's Blinky. Oh, yeah. Some of you say, aw, and those of you who know him say, ugh. Right. The demon cat. Okay. Here's Blinky on top of my roof. Yeah. This is a couple years ago, and I'm going up and getting Blinky on top of the roof. Now, Blinky is out here in the atmosphere, right? He's breathing in air. He's breathing in carbon. And so are you. Yes, everyone chuckle. That's okay. You can laugh at me. That's right. By the way, it's in the winter time, and I'm out getting him on the roof. Anyway. Okay. I know. Okay, we're breathing in carbon, right? Blinky just escaped from the house. He left the penitentiary, and he went out, and he probably ate some grass, right? So he has grass in his body. We eat herbs and stuff with carbon in them all the time. Herbs, yes. So, guess what happens? Heaven forbid, Blinky fell off the roof and hit the ground and died. Guess what would happen? His carbon... He would decompose. His carbon-12, which is a stable atom, would remain the same. However, his carbon-14 would start its half-life process, and which is unstable, and it would decompose or get less. Alright? So, now, the thing here is... Here's the thing. However much carbon is in little Blinky is however much is in the atmosphere. Okay? So, what they do is, say a cow kills over, they go to it, no one was around when the cow died, you just have a dead cow. What they'll do is they'll take the carbon-12 in the cow, and they'll compare it to the carbon-14. Now, if the carbon-12 is up here, right? This is the 12, and it's at this state, but the carbon-14 is getting further and further down, because it's decomposing or decreasing, whatever you want to say, and the half-lives are going, what they'll do is they'll measure the ratio between the two, pretty much. Does that make sense? So that's how you can tell. Here's the assumption. You ready for the assumption? The assumption is, because the consistency is with Blinky breathing in the atmosphere, the assumption is that our atmosphere has always been the same for 5,000, 10,000, 11,000, 11 million years. We'll talk about the million in a minute. How many of you guys have ever heard the statement that... Oh, by the way, before we get there. Carbon-14 dating was used on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dead Sea Scrolls, they were dated pretty much... They're pretty accurate about that. Dead Sea Scrolls. Dead Sea Scrolls are a great witnessing tool. Seriously. If anyone ever says to you... I was talking with John again. I'll use an example. How do you know the Bible's reliable? How do you know the manuscripts are still there? Dead Sea Scrolls are a great thing. They compare the Dead Sea Scrolls, which hadn't been touched for 2,000 years, with the transcripts we have now. Identical. The Bible has not changed. You can trust the manuscripts of what it says. Dead Sea Scrolls are dated. So carbon, write this down, carbon-14 dating is on the young earth side. Carbon-14 dating proves the young earth. It also proves Christianity, or helps. It talks about the dating methods of the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's on a creationist side. What do I mean by that? Yeah, this, you're actually getting the presentation I gave in class, so there's a lot of... I wanted to make sure I had a thorough presentation for any questions I would get. Yeah, there's a lot more. Oh, okay, I'll talk about these in a minute. All right, let me... What was I saying? What did I just say?
Dead Sea Scrolls.
Dead Sea Scrolls. Dating. Oh, okay. On your notes. I'm sorry, let me see your notes. Let's see here. Oh, carbon-14 is undetectable at about 50,000 years. Undetectable. Now, what does that mean? How many of you guys have ever heard the statement that carbon dating proves the Earth is millions of years old? Has anyone ever heard that? All right, whoever told you that is ignorant of science and theology. Every scientist in the world that has studied knows that carbon-14, the maximum, I'm talking the maximum, that it can date is 100,000 years. Why? Because that ratio of your carbon gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually it's undetectable. And it's undetectable at about 50,000 years. And they have this new thing called the AMS, which is the Accelerated Mass Spectrometer, which actually counts the individual atoms in the carbon-14 and makes, it would be like, say you have, you know, Blinky. Blinky died, and he's laying on the ground decomposing. And all of a sudden, I'm walking out with a barrel of radioactive waste, and I trip, and I fall, and it goes all over Blinky. Well, Blinky just got contaminated. His carbon-14 readings might be a little off because of the radioactiveness in Blinky. All right, what the accelerated mass spectrometer does is it removes any possibility of contamination. Now, it's not perfect, and if I really dumped a whole thing of waste on him, the AMS reader probably still wouldn't work to the utmost efficiency. But anyway, the point is, they can count, and the maximum, even with this machine, the maximum that they supposedly can detect it is 100,000 years. Now, why is that important? Well, this research, the research I'm getting ready to show you was taken from a group called the RATE research team, RATE. That's radioisotopes in the age of the Earth. Okay? And what they did was, look at all these guys. These guys are smart. You got geophysics, physics, geology, physics, and meteorology. By the way, they're all young Earth creationists. You can be a scientist and believe the Bible. It's true. It's possible. Despite what people will tell you. Here. All right. This here is a sample of coal. Coal. It's a rock. Now, guess what? What they did was they took, this research team, they took coal samples from all across America. And 12 different samples all across, not even America. I'm pretty sure it was America. And what they did was, I know it was America, but I'm talking about other countries. I don't know if they went to other countries like Africa. No, that was diamonds. Anyway, okay. What they did was they went from different layers. You know how Charles Lyell set up the layers of the Earth? And you guys know, I don't know how to pronounce them, like the Petrarch layer, the Mesopotamic layer, and you know all those layers you learn about in science. Anyway, long story short, they took them from different layers of the Earth, all different layers. And they took them uncontaminated, took them from all different locations. They couldn't all been in the same place. And guess what they did? They carbon dated them. Now, I would like to point out that the layers of rock they took them from are, by evolutionary standards, 3 million years old, 300 million years old, 200 million years old, 100 million years old, and everything in between. Millions of years of rock layer. And they took the coals from them. Guess what they found in the layers? I want to point out, look at millions of years. This is supposed to be 35 million years old. Guess what you find in there? carbon-14 dating. Carbon-14. Why is that significant? Ah, really? You're not supposed to be able to find carbon-14 in anything that's over 100,000 years old. But guess what they find? They not only find carbon-14, but they find a pretty good chunk of it. Pretty good chunk of carbon-14. And guess what? They found it in every single layer. Look at this. 300 million years old, and look what they find. Carbon-14. Now, granted, it's lesser here, but it's still there. It shouldn't be there at all. It should be long, long gone.
And yet, it's almost still half there.
Yeah. Now, the question is, what do you do with it? If you're an evolutionist, well, that's a very good question. You can't do anything with it. It's there. You can't refute the evidence. Carbon-14 is in favor of a young Earth. Now, let me show you. Let's go a little even deeper. By the way, that's the average percentage, if you want to write that down for future reference. This is the average percentage of carbon found in the 10 coal samples. No matter where it is, it still decomposes. No matter if it's in air or not, it's still going. That's why. Oh, by the way, good point. You can only date living things. You know, I couldn't take a... Well, that is... Oh, tree. I couldn't take... I don't know.
Plastic?
I couldn't take plastic. Yeah, I couldn't take plastic and carbon date it. Because it wasn't living. That's why you're able to date the Dead Sea Scrolls. Is because they're wrapped in animal skin.
Shouldn't these signs know that, like, you know...
But see, what happens is, when you present this evidence, this can't be true. It can't be. You know why? Because those layers are millions of years. And I will paraphrase a conversation I had. You can't show that. Those rock layers are millions and millions of years. When you carbon date dinosaurs, guess what? You find carbon in them. That doesn't mean they're millions of years old. I go, well, maybe they're younger than we think they are. You know what I'm saying? What it does is it challenges their entire way of thinking. I mean, it's radical. 14 billion years compared to 6,000? That's a radical change. Radical change you have to undergo. And by the way, I love it. You find carbon-14 in dinosaurs. Well, yeah. That's because God created them on day 6, and it's 6,000 years ago. Hello. Anyway, all right. By the way, we'll talk about the exact days in a minute. Diamonds. They took the same thing from diamonds. Now, diamonds, by evolutionary standards, are supposedly the oldest thing we have around. They even go into the billions of years range. They took 12 diamond samples from Africa, all different places in Africa, which means they could not have been contaminated. There couldn't have been an underground river that contaminated them with something else. All different places. Now, my question is, these are supposed to be hundreds of millions, if not billions years old, and guess what you find in every single one of them? Carbon-14 dating. Something seriously needs to be brought into question in the scientific community about the age of the Earth. There you go. That's from the coal, I believe. Carbon-12 is the stable atom, and carbon-14 is the unstable atom. So what they do is they compare the carbon-12 with the carbon-14, and they kind of count backwards. By the way, let me say this. You can do all your math right, 110% right, and accurate, but if your original equation's wrong, guess what? You still get a wrong answer, even if all your math's correct. Same way, you can do all your mathematics you ever want to do, but if your starting point is wrong, then the rest doesn't matter. Oop, diamonds. Ooh, yeah, ooh. Yeah, all the girls, yeah. All right, there's the ratio of carbon found in the diamonds. And all this research is documented. You can go and look in scientific stuff and find all the documented. All right, let me read you a quote. Remember I talked about the assumption? The assumption was that what we breathe is with the atmosphere. Now look, this is from the guy who invented carbon dating, his man, Dr. Libby. He says, if the cosmic radiation has remained at its present intensity for 20 to 30,000 years, by the way, he's an evolutionist, and if the carbon reservoir has not changed appreciably in this time, then there exists at the present time a complete balance between the rate of disintegration of radiocarbon atoms and the rate of assimilation of the new radiocarbon atoms for all material in the life cycle. What he's saying, I'll paraphrase, what he's saying is, I don't get it. The Earth is supposed to have been around forever and been evolving, we should have reached equilibrium at about 30,000 years. But guess what? We haven't. Now, we do have reached equilibrium. But what if something, remember back to the faucet analogy? What if something goes and cranks up the faucet? What if something turns it up or turns it down? What could mess up the equilibrium? Well, lots of things. Radiation, vehicles, Al Gore, magnetic field, catastrophes, and here's the big clincher, global flood.
Yay!
Yay, global flood. Okay, now you say, well, Sean, wait a minute. You're saying you can't detect carbon at over 100,000 years, but you believe the Bible, and you say it's 6,000 years. That's still kind of overshot there. 100,000, 6,000, 50,000. What's the deal? Okay. Genesis 7:11 says, the fountains of the great deep burst forth. Alright? What you have is you have all the trees, all the carbon, being uprooted, put back down in the layers of rock from a global flood. That's a lot of carbon. That's a lot of carbon. Put back in and messing up everything. Now, what does that mean? Guess what? If that means there will be a lot more carbon in the ground than what would match the math. And what do I mean by that? Think about it. If these samples were taken or pre-flood, they would have been layered back down with a lot more carbon and uprooted with a lot more carbon, which would give them a high rating, and which would equal, and if you do the math, what makes 50,000 years, say it was five times that of the carbon today, that equals to about 6,000 to 10,000 years. Does that make sense? So what you're looking at, the flood does a lot. The flood changes the carbon amount. The flood changes the equilibrium. The flood changes a whole lot of things.
So they can't use carbon dating for anything at all?
Oh, no, you can. Like I said, the Dead Sea Scrolls. But that is after the flood. Anything that's before the flood, you'll get extreme rates of carbon in it. Extreme rates. I.e. coal and diamonds. But now, granted, you have things like when they do nuclear testing, well, that messes up the equilibrium a lot. But not... The Dead Sea Scrolls weren't under a radioactive bomb when they were tested. So, I mean, the places you test it have a lot of effect to do with the equilibrium as well and where you are. Does that make sense? Okay, moving on. Oh, these are some other possible explanations. What could explain that there's actually coal and carbon in these? Well, contaminating. Well, that's unreasonable. They're taken from all different parts of the world. And to say that they were all contaminated, that's foolish. Nuclear reactions. That's too low. Nuclear reactions emit carbon, but the carbon is actually less than the carbon they found. Heavy radioactive isotopes. There's some isotopes that actually emit carbon-14. But guess what? They emit carbon-14 at 100,000 times less than the carbon that was found in the coal and the diamonds. And it's dumb to say that one element or that one radioisotope was in every single one of those 12 coal samples. That's really foolish. Young Earth, very probable. Very probable. Carbon-14 dating does not make sense if you're an evolutionist and believe in millions of years. However, carbon-14 dating does make sense if you believe in a young Earth. If we reject the idea of millions of years in evolution, this undermines all of science. How many of you guys have ever heard this? I've heard it from several people. This is what people will say to you. This is what evolutionists say to you. You can't get rid of evolution. It's the backbone, the fundamental, and the foundation of all science. This is Dr. Raymond V. Damadian. How many of you guys have ever gotten an MRI scan? MRI scan. Or know someone who has? Alright, this is the guy, one of the three scientists on the research team. This guy is brilliant. He received many presidential honors, almost got the Nobel Peace Prize. Peace Prize. Guess what? He's a young Earth, literal 24-hour, the Bible-believing creationist that the Earth was created in 6,000 years. And to say that this guy isn't a scientist, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So every time you go get an MRI, remember, the Earth is young. All right. We already talked about this. Exodus 20. For in 6 days, God made the earth. Jesus said this, if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I'm saying? Genesis is foundational to the rest of the Bible. We already talked all about this. But at the beginning of creation, God made the male and female. Jesus was a young earth creationist. Oh! Okay. Hats. This is an actual fossilized hat. Yeah. How many of you guys have ever heard that it takes millions of years to create fossils? Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Millions of years old. No. Yeah, they were very stylish back then. In fact, this was found in a shipwreck. It's a clock. A fossilized clock. In fact, they have this at the Creation Museum, which we're going to go see. Fossilized clock. There it is. Look at that. Man, 3 million years ago, that came in handy. No, that was actually a shipwreck. I believe off the Atlantic. I could be wrong about that. I want to say 18th century. There's where I got all my information. The University of Arizona does a lot with carbon dating. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and study some more, just a little bit, segment more science, and Stephen's going to talk to you about that, and then we're going to break for lunch. Wait, no, wait, lunch is at 12, isn't it? Okay, we don't have time to do that. Just kidding. Listen quickly, I'm going to run through this. Run through this, all right? I'm sorry, I know this is a lot of information. Gonna run through this. You're gonna rethink, what are some other evidences? Now, like I said, I'm not a scientist, I just studied a lot about carbon dating. I'm not a scientist. Oh! Radiometric dating is the dating method they use to date millions of years. There's the same research that I just showed you, the same team did all kinds of studies on radiometric dating. The same thing applies to it. It's a little different. I don't know much about it, but I can give you great resources for that anyway. Younger than we think. Okay. Spiral galaxies are evidence for a young Earth. How? Okay. The inner rings spin much faster than the outer rings. Check this out. See these ones right here? It's like a clock. It's winding really tight, and the outer ones spin less. Theoretically, if galaxies have been around for billions and billions of years, there should be absolutely no spiral galaxies. There should... Billions of years, plenty of time for the spiral rings to be rotated and pushed out, so it's just like another type of galaxy. Plenty of time. However, guess what you find? Spiral galaxies everywhere. Evolutionists say that our Earth and our galaxy are 10 billion years old. By the way, we live in a, guess what? Spiral galaxy. This has been known for about 50 years. And they do have some ways to get around it. I've never heard of that argument, but I've heard of the winding up dilemma. However, you know, they come out with all these different theories about how we have spiral galaxies, and they change all the time. The current one is called density waves, but it has some really scientific problems. Number two, supernovas. Supernovas. The Milky Way has about one supernova every 25 years. Do the math, and supernova gas is visible for theoretically over 100 million years. However, if you do the math, there's only about 200 gas remnants, and that only adds up to about 700 years. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Supernovas, number two. Comets. Evolutionists claim that comets are the same age of our solar system, supposedly 5 billion years old. Every time a comet orbits the sun, it loses part of it. It melts. So, after 5 billion years, if they're the same age, guess what? All the comets should have melted. But, by the way, there are many comets that orbit. And the way they get around that is they say, this is so funny. You know, the wise become foolish. They really do. The wise become foolish. They claim that there's this thing, how many of you guys have heard of the Oort cloud? Have you ever heard of the Oort cloud? Okay. They say, well, we know that comets shouldn't be around if the Earth is 5 billion years old. But we have comets. We can't get rid of them. So let's create this cloud in this little orbit, this little cloud that is in the outer space that sends comets to us, basically. Any comets that we have presently come from this cloud. There is zero scientific evidence for the Oort cloud. Zero. It's only there because the wise become foolish and because they have to explain how comets are around. They don't look at the comets and say, "Wow, young Earth." No, they look at the comets and says, "Well, evolution's true, so we've got to fit this into evolution." The wise become foolish. Maximum lifespan of the comet is about 100,000 years. Nature, the prestigious Nature magazine, says that comets only last about 10,000 years. The imaginary Oort cloud. Sea and the salt. Sea and the salt. Over 450 million tons of salt are dumped into the ocean via rivers and other sources. And only 27% gets back out of the ocean. So you know what that means? The rest of the percentage, we got to assume, is left on the bottom of the ocean. Well, guess what would happen if that's true? Evolutionists say that the Earth is 3 billion years old. However, liberal calculations allow only for 22 million years to account for the present salt we have in our ocean. Do you hear that? I'm sorry, 62%. What that means is, they're saying we know the rate of salt we have in our ocean now, and we calculated it, and guess what? The amount of time it would take to give the present salt we have in our ocean now is 62 million years. But evolutionists believe the Earth is 3 billion years old. Huge discrepancy. Something's wrong. Now, I don't believe that 62 million years is how long we've been around, but I'm saying if you use the same calculations and the same assumptions, there's a contradictory. Magnetic field. Decreasing half-life of 1,465 years. By the way, you can go online and read a really good technical paper on this. It was over my head, but more power to you. The maximum that our magnetic field could have been around would be about 20,000 years. It protects us, and also, it protects us. It keeps radioactive waves, stuff like that, from killing us. Very important. Let me give you some other ones. We're going to run through these really fast. Too much helium in minerals. Fossil radioactivity, which we'll talk about radiometric dating. Biological material decay. Strata tightly bent. I think Stephen will talk about that. Mud on the ocean floor. If you run some calculations on that, it's really a predicament for evolutionists. Not enough Stone Age skeletons. I don't know all the details on every one of these. You can go online to answergenesis.org, go young, and you can actually look at each one of these individually and what they're saying. Agriculture too recent. Written human history too short. It's really interesting. We're supposed to have been around for hundreds of thousands of years, and we only have written documents to about, 4,000 BC, 6,000 years ago, that type of thing. Whoa, go figure. Maybe the Bible's right. Moon distance. I love this one. This is my favorite. I know much about this one. I really don't know much about these other ones, but I know about moon distance. Moon distance. The moon moves away about 1 to 2 inches every year, which isn't a problem if you're a creationist because the Earth's been around 6,000 years. So if you calculate it, it's probably moved about 400 feet, which isn't a big deal. Because it's 400. I think it's 4 million miles away. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. But it's far enough away that 400 feet isn't going to be that big of a deal. However, if you believe the Earth is 3 billion years old, when you calculate it, the moon at 1.2 billion years old will be touching the Earth's crust and then having to move back to where we are today to be where it is right now. It's ridiculous. How do they get around it? Well, just change your lie. Change your theory. Have you guys ever heard that theory about the moon coming out of the ocean of the Earth? Have you guys heard that? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Talk about unscientific. Anyway, carbon dating. Stone Age? I'm not sure. I should just go online and it has a whole bunch of information on it. There was an ice age, by the way. Good point. We'll talk about that with the dinosaurs. There was an ice age. There was not four ice ages. There was one. All right. Let's break for lunch.